Today on Real Life Radio.
God's word judges us. And the word of God says, Jack, church, you better be careful what you're focusing on. It matters. It will then begin to formulate opinions, views, and positions of our life.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called The Gospel of Luke with a message titled, Turning on the Light. You know, this series called The Gospel of Luke really gives us both the humanity and the divinity of Jesus as only Luke, the physician, could do. Here now, we'll continue in chapter 11, and we consider how Jesus often taught in parables, painting a vivid picture of what he's trying to convey. You see, Jesus brings his teachings to us in technicolor, and the value of a brilliant light is that it's meant to be seen. Nobody turns up a lamp and then hides it, right? When Jesus tells us that he is the light of the world, he's telling us that those who follow him will not walk in darkness. So today, on this part of the message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that a bad eye will twist the light into darkness. When our hearts are tender and our eyes are full of light, we are very aware of sin and wrongdoing. But when the heart grows dull and indifferent, we become critical and unloving towards God, and of course to those around us. But before we get into today's message, I want to let you know that if you struggle with evidence that God exists, I got to point you to a current featured resource, Evidence That Demands a Verdict. It's by Josh and Sean McDowell, and it's available for a gift of any amount at our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Now, with his message called Turning on the Light, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
The Bible says we need to be born again so we can come to life. It's the Spirit of God that gives us life. Now, why am I given such a preface to this? Because the verse I'm about to read, probably within, I'm going to prophesy here, not saith the Lord, saith Jack. This verse at current rate will probably be illegal within 5 years from the day of this statement. It's illegal in Canada. It's illegal in Sweden. You can't read what I'm about to read you from the Bible, and it's coming to America. But let me tell you, I'm going to read it because I love you. If you are the most respectful businessman in the community, or if you are a prostitute that's just walked in here off the street, I love you. My sin, your sin, it's all rotten before God, and we all need Jesus. So listen, did I make that clear enough? I'm not picking on anybody. Okay, so there, you can't sue me now. Here it goes. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9, this is what Jesus does. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? That means there ain't no heaven for these people if they stay this way. Do not be deceived. No fornicators, that's having sex, that's not being married and having sex with people, person, anybody. And by the way, it also means sexual lewdness. It doesn't even mean, you don't have to go all the way. It means that you just are involved in sexual lewdness. Bible says you're not going to go. Idolaters, people who love things and make it their identity. I'm so depressed. I can't live anymore. I need a new car. Bible says you're an idol worshiper. Adulterer. You know what adulterer is? Just watch TV. That's an adulterer. It's on like every channel. Everybody's cheating on somebody. That means if one or both of the two parties engaged in their activities sexually is married, you are committing adultery. Yeah, but I'm not married. He is. You are an adulterer, God says. And you're not going to heaven. Okay, he keeps going. Homosexual. Bible says homosexual right there. Why? Well, first of all, God says don't do it. It's wrong. It'll kill you. It'll destroy you. God says don't do that. Sodomites, not going to talk about that one. Thieves, are you a thief? God says, you're not going to go. Covetous, you want other people's stuff? I've got to have that. Covetousness is, I can't live without it. I got to have it. Could be a lawnmower. My neighbor's got the best looking lawnmower I've ever seen. That's why I brought it up. That's my thing. Look at his lawnmower. My lawnmower is dirty. It's all scratched up. My neighbor gets a new lawnmower! Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's possessions. Could be his wife, her husband, car, lawnmower. Okay? Not on a curve. We don't grade like that. God does not do that. Listen, no drunkards, partiers, revilers, people who party and argue, extortionists will inherit the kingdom of God. Now, here's the great news. And such were some of you. He's speaking to the church at Corinth. In other words, Paul was saying, hey, remember when some of you guys were a bunch of thieves? And they're all in the back. They're going, yep, we remember. We were thieves. Do you guys remember a bunch of adulterers? Boy, do we remember. Paul says, yeah, yep, I remember you guys were a bunch of, remember idolaters and homosexuals and all that? Yeah, we remember. Paul says, such were some of you. Watch this. And by the way, let's not point fingers at anybody. All of us in this room, starting with me first, are the chief of sinners.
Yeah, but I've never been any of those things.
You're probably so arrogant and impressed with yourself that you think you're God or something. Believe me, we've all sinned. We all need him. No one's sinless in this life. So, such were some of you. Watch this. But you were washed. But you were sanctified. But you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. That is awesome news. Listen, a lot of those things that we're talking about, a lot of those sins, you say, well, I was born that way. I was born a thief. No, you were not born a thief. It's in my DNA. No, it was not in your DNA. It's a choice you make. Those are all sins of choice. Science confirms this, sins of choice. Here's the thing. Why do we make the choices we make? What's wrong with us? Hey, as you get older, especially when you're raising up your kids, remember the stuff that your parents did to you that you said, I'll never do? Boy, when I have my kids, I'm never going to treat my kid like you treat me, parent. I'm not. You're thinking, I'll never be a dad like you're a dad to me. And then, listen, you start living your life with your kid, and you wind up saying the same thing that your dad said to you that you said you would never say to your kids. This is going to hurt me a lot more than it's going to hurt you. You know, that kind of stuff. Where does that come from? Learned response behavior. Listen, when we grow up, we're like sponges in every way. And when we see our parents growing up and they get in an argument, dad reaches for the bottle. As a little child, we begin to equate Jim Beam fixes the problem. It's not Jesus Christ. It's Jim Beam. It's Jack Daniels. It's a line of Coke. It's a pill. It's violence. The little kid grows up and sees when something happens, when the bills can't be paid, dad winds up throwing things around the house. That's not in that kid's DNA. That kid watches this, and it goes through the lenses of his eyes, and it makes an imprint upon his heart. If he likes it or not, as he grows up, he begins to live out what he saw come in. And he may hate it. He may even shake his fist at himself and say, when will this cycle break? Paul just told us a moment ago, through Jesus Christ, the cycle breaks. Listen, I don't mean to offend anybody, but you can go to a psychoanalyst. You can go to anybody you want and pay the amount of money you're going to pay. I'm going to save you some money right now, and I'm going to get some nasty letters from people who are going to disagree with this. It may help a very, very tiny bit, but it's not going to help to the core. They don't deal in the realm of the spirit. They only deal in the realm of the psyche in Greek. Psychology, psyche is where we get that from. Jesus Christ, our chief surgeon, goes straight to the heart, and he changes our heart. Only God does that. He made you. He can lift the hood of your life and put in a new heart. It's a spiritual miracle that he does. It's awesome. God does that. Secondly, under this point, the need to see is vision. What we see gives us vision. Therefore, when your eye is good, Jesus said, your whole body's full of light. The word good here means focused, a directed beam, focused. Today we use the word laser. If you have an eye that is laser focused, then your whole body's going to be fine. You don't have to worry about it. In John 12, 36, Jesus said, while you have the light, believe in the light, that you may be children of the light. And in John chapter 9, verse 5, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Jesus gives us vision. Another thing here, thirdly, under this point, what we see can ruin our lives as well. Look, my friend, you're either going to look to the things of God or the things of this world. It's black and white. I know it sounds simple, but it's true. What you and I look at can either bless our lives or ruin our lives. Did any of you, if you haven't seen it, you got to go see it. In fact, I think, fathers, listen up, dads, I think you need to view this first and then see if it's appropriate at the right time for you to show it to your son. With the book of Proverbs, chapter 6 and 7 open, watch the DVD put out by Focus on the Family, James Dobson's interview with a guy by the name of Ted Bundy. Ted Bundy used to go to church growing up. Ted Bundy took God lightly. He just did the church thing because he was supposed to do the church thing. I have to do it. Then Ted Bundy got car keys, and Ted Bundy got a little bit older, and he was able to go out on dates. Ted Bundy was able to do drugs and drink and be a little rabble-rouser, as it were, and kind of shake things up. Ted Bundy began to commit fornication, go on a date. Then Ted Bundy began to take fornication further. Then he got into pornography because that wasn't feeding him enough. Then he got into pornography, but then that didn't feed him enough. And you read and you listen and you watch that DVD. He went from one thing to the next, till he went to snuff films. And what happened? How does a person murder and sexual torture people to death? Ted Bundy said he never started out that way. It graduated over that way. What I took in with my eyes, it made me who I was. Listen, it's true for every one of us in here today. What your eyes are feeding on, you will become that thing. Is it pornography? It's going to consume you. Is it always looking over the fence at the greener pastures? It's going to consume you. The Bible says, godliness with contentment is great gain. God is warning us, I love you, I made you, I know what's best for you. Stop calling the shots in your life. I'll give you direction, and I'll give you purpose, and I'll give you vision, and I can help your life all the way through to the end. And we say, no, God, I'm going to take it from here. And we can't govern ourselves. And we begin to look at things that will kill us or those around us.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
Women today around this world, but no more than in America, women today are so insecure. They're so terrified because their husbands are no longer satisfied and comfortable with their wives' body anymore because the men have ventured out away from the home and they've committed sexual lewdness by looking at pornography, and now their affections and their imaginations are somewhere else. And then they see their wife and nothing happens. God weeps over that. God invented sex. Satan makes lust. God creates marriage to fulfill that and many other things. Satan creates this world that you and I see today. It's a heartbreak. You get to watch it on TV. I pray that you don't. But it's ministries and it's pastors and it's police officers and firemen who pick up the broken lives and try to put them back together again, or the pieces of the skull off the wall when all hope is gone. Our nation is sick. All because we've refused the light of the world. Husbands, open the Bible. Find out what it is to treat your wife and treat her that way, the way Jesus would treat her, the way he treats the church. Kids, you need to love your mom and dad. Yeah, but you don't know them. I don't know them, but you know what? I know the Lord, and he wants you to love your mom and dad. Mom and dad, love your kids. Husbands and wives, love each other. God gives you the power, but listen, he gives us vision, and that eye needs to be focused like a laser on the things that matter and the things that count. And when every day, every one of us is tempted for our eye to be pulled off, every one of us.
But you're a pastor. It doesn't happen to you, does it?
I've got to drive down the 10 freeway just like you do with those godforsaken billboards enticing those poor truck drivers who have been away from home for 3 weeks. You don't think Satan knows what he's doing? It's horrific. Constantly. You can't even watch a baseball game anymore without some girl coming on an underwear ad. You see, well, she's an underwear ad. Oh yeah, tell that to a 16-year-old boy. This world is sick. Watch out with the eyes. They're the windows to the very heart of who we are. It can ruin our lives. John, 1 John chapter 1, verse 6. 1 John 1:6 says, if we say that we have fellowship with God and we walk in darkness, that's sin. We're liars and we do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. 1 John 2:9, he who says he's in the light but hates his brother is in darkness to this hour, to this moment. Those are strong words, but whatever we are focusing on, my friend, will either bless our lives or ruin our lives. Third and final point, turning on the light, the path that you and I are on. We need the light turned on to the path that you and I are living on. Verses 35 to 36. The light of God's word softens our hearts. You say, well, what does that matter? How does that figure? Listen, Jesus said, verse 35, therefore, take heed that the light which is in you is not darkness. Doesn't that sound like a contradiction? What do you mean? The light that is in me is not darkness. It's an amazing word. Jesus is saying this. Your eyes, as they're receiving what's going on around you in this life, based upon what you're focusing on, will go through your eyes, and your eyes only act like a lens. Your eyes do not create light. They don't create darkness. They're just a channel. But when you, the will of who you and I are, if we begin to focus on, ooh, that, and ooh, wow, ooh, and God says, don't do that, don't do that. If you stay focused on it, what goes in through here will eventually affect the innermost person of who you are, and that's where the darkness begins. And it starts to radiate, emanate outward until the light that we've taken in, we processed it wrongly. And the Bible says, and when that happens to someone's life, they become reprobate. Book of Romans chapter 1 talks about becoming reprobate. When you look at everything that everyone else is looking at, but you see it, watch, you see it and you get bitter. You get angry. You get critical. You're all upset. You judge people. Oh, yeah, you know what? She's nice, but I bet you she's... That is evil. Where does that come from? From the innermost parts of your heart. How did it get there? Your eye was not single. It wasn't focused on what it should have been. You guys, the Word of God judges us. No man has the right to judge any of us. God's Word judges us. And the Word of God says, Jack, church, you better be careful what you're focusing on. It matters. It will then begin to formulate opinions, views, and positions of our life. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. It's as if this morning, this light in this room, if we laid a great film between you and the lights and put a lens, as it were, or if you put yellow glasses on, everything's yellow, everything's amber, everything's tinted. Because why? Because the lens is now tinted. But it's not a reality. God says, watch out. G. Campbell Morgan says that sin places cataracts over the eyes of our souls. He went on to say that if our eyes are receiving and transmitting selfishness, we're going to become a selfish person. If our eyes are transmitting or receiving mercy, we're going to become a merciful person. If our eyes are transmitting or receiving pornography, we're going to become a pornographic person. If our eyes are transmitting life and love, we're going to become a person of life and love. It's very clear if we can see. During the French Revolution, there was a band of Christians who just wanted their Bible. They didn't want the Church of England, and they didn't want the Catholic Church. They just wanted their Bible and Jesus. They're like you. And that was unacceptable. They had to choose. Catholic Church, Church of England. Pick. We don't pick anyone. Oh, right, you're arrested. They arrested them. They threw them in a dungeon. And there were about 9 of them in a pit. And it was a deep pit, and it had a crack over the top. And 30 minutes of each day, the sun would go across, and the sun would hit the wall and then go quickly across the floor to the other wall and be gone. 30 minutes a day, they had a beam of light. That was it. But you know what they did with it? They had one Bible. They sat in total darkness, and they waited for the light to come. And when the light came, It said there that they took the lightest little believer that they had, they gave him the Bible, and they lifted him up, and they took turns for 30 minutes holding him up as the sunbeam moved across down the wall, across the floor, up the other wall. They moved him like this as he read out loud the scriptures. And it was recorded there that while he was in the light, he told us about the light. That's the awesome truth. If you are in the light, you can tell people about the light. But some of you are sitting here today and you don't even know what you're talking about. You're a weirdo. I understand that you think I'm a weirdo. I used to think that people like me were weirdos too. And then God opened my eyes to see that the Bible's true and that he can change my life and forgive me of sins, great sins. You know, some of those things that we read earlier, those were not my sins, but I'll tell you, worrying and violence. I had a horrific, murderous temper. And I grew up learning how to worry. I watched my mom. She had a PhD in worrying. She worried about everything. And when I gave my heart to Christ, the worry was gone. I felt like something was wrong. Well, who's going to care about the world's problems? Who's going to bite their nails and fret over all this stuff that's going on and the injustice in this world? God says, shut up and sit down. That's what I do, Jack. I take care of the world. He changed that in my heart like that. And then the second thing, just violence. Fighting and brawling and temper. Man, God is awesome. And what has he done in your life? And then there are those that are around us. He hasn't had a chance to do anything in your life. Oh, I got good news for you. He's waiting to do a wonderful thing with you. Secondly, he directs the way. The light of God's word directs the way. Then your whole body will be full of light. Having no part dark, your whole body will be full of light. How do you do that? Get into the Bible. Psalm 119, verse 130 says, entrance of your words gives light and gives understanding to the simple. God's word changed your life. The more time you spend in God's word, the more it's going to come out of you. The more time you're in God's word, the more you're going to think it. And then finally here, the light of God's word fills our lives. Jesus said, you now, us, the believer, you're the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand and gives light to all those who are in the house. Let your light, Christian, so shine before men that they'll see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. What about you? God wants to give you a brand new life. What are your eyes feasting upon? You just spent 55 minutes in a Bible study. Yeah, brother, I'm glad you're shutting up. It's been too long. I can't believe it. Whoa! I understand. I understand, though I do not sympathize. Why? Because you can leave right now and go spend 3.5 hours watching some knucklehead movie through the eye gate of your being, into your soul, and it won't make one bit of difference for the good in your life. But we hem and haw that the Bible study went over an hour. God help us. You know, if I had it my way, we would just set up beds and food here. Because we cannot exhaust this book. Father, I thank you for your truth. We pray, Lord, that for all of us, as we live in these days, when evil is good, good is evil, wrong is right, right is wrong, normal is abnormal, abnormal is normal, that the Christian would stand firm. Lord, like never before, we would gaze upon the holy, eternal word of God that shall never fail, nor shall it ever fail us. And Lord, as we stand as a beacon to the world, that you would use us to bring as many as men, women, boys, and girls into the kingdom of God as is possible through us. Lord, here we are. Send us to a world in darkness. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, with his message called Turning on the Light. You know, this message is part of our series called The Gospel of Luke, a series on the book of Luke and the unveiling of Jesus Christ to this world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. You know, we don't always understand what God's doing, but the Bible tells us that one day we will. The question is, do we know God personally? Many believe there's a God and that He's powerful, but having faith in God is to know and understand that He cares about you immensely. God's power could force obedience, but instead, He gives us the freedom to choose to come to Him through our own free will. So, if you're wondering what that means to have a personal relationship with God, why don't you let us help? Simply go to our website, jackhibbs.com, click on that tab that's labeled Know God, spelled out, that's K-N-O-W, God. Now, once you're there, you'll learn about things like how our sin is separating us from God and how God has made a way through His Son, Jesus Christ, to get right with Him. Again, it's that tab labeled Know God, and it's there at our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.